Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and if you'll follow along, I'll read down through the 10th verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Heavenly Father, thank you. Already our hearts are full to overflowing. Already we've been so blessed. Lord, now as we open our hearts to the scriptures, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would empower the words, Lord, of the Bible and use them as they are, Lord, a sharp two-edged sword to do the work of grace in each and every one of our hearts. I pray, Lord, if there be one here without Jesus as their Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray also, Lord, that for those of us that have been saved, as we look back to this great gift, dear God, that the full impact of what you've done, Lord, would come upon us and overwhelm us and make us thankful, Lord, put praise upon our lips and thanksgiving upon our hearts, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All week long, I've been saying something that I should not have been saying because all of the choir did a wonderful job. And adults, I don't want to for one second diminish your part in it, but all week long, I've been saying, I can't wait till Sunday. I want to hear the kids sing. I don't know what it is about kids and Christmas, but you know what? Kids make Christmas. I'm glad that we involved them this morning. Thank you, Brother Bud, for working, and I know you had others helping you, but thank you for involving the children. I didn't know there was going to be a nursery scene and babies, but that even made it better. The only reason that they had them set down during the parts they weren't talking is if they're standing up here with the babies, you're not looking at anything else in the world but the babies. And our children precious, and children just kind of make Christmas, and it seems kind of odd in our home at this point in time, because when Tabitha and AJ flew in from California, was able to spend a week with us, we decided we'd get the kids and the grandkids all together and do our Christmas, because you folks know who have your children raised and scattered some, that it's a challenge just to get everybody in the house at one time. And so we thought we better capitalize on the opportunity, and we just decided we'd go ahead and have Christmas. So for most of you, December 25th is a Christmas day this year, but for the Ross family, it was on December 12th, a Friday night, that we got the entire crew together. And nothing is more fun for Papa and Mama than to watch the kids come in. And of course, we've been working fervently to buy them gifts and wrap them, make sure they're ready, and they are glad to see us, but it doesn't take their eyes very long to wander over to the Christmas tree and spot the gifts. There's just something about a child when they walk into a room where there's presents or a gift. Everything else seems to no longer matter, cease to exist as they begin to look at the presents. Children make Christmas. For those of us that have raised our children and that are all grown now, us empty nesters that are here, you know what? Christmas is still filled with a lot of Christmas memories. And those best memories, I think, involve our children when they were little. I've told this story before. Matter of fact, you may not remember this, but I told this story about Tabitha one time when she was still fairly young. And she sat up on the front row with her mom, or second row with her mom, and got embarrassed and started bawling as I told this story on her. And so I don't think I've ever told it since then, but now that she's grown and gone and And you know what? I'm too old to care anymore what anybody thinks about what I say. I'm going to tell it again. But I remember it was 3 days before Christmas. I know it was 3 days before Christmas because of what happened. And we had the Christmas tree up, and we had some of the gifts out and the presents around it. And well, we're all running around busy in an evening time. And all of a sudden, I say to the girls, "Where's Tabitha?" And nobody knows where Tabitha is. And she was fairly little, probably 5 or 6 years old at this time. And so, you know, you get a little concerned. We hadn't seen her in a day or two, so we thought maybe we ought to start looking around and see if we can figure out where. No, just, you know, all of a sudden, "Where's Tabitha?" And so I would run upstairs to see, hollered out in the yard, you know, couldn't find her anymore. I think, "Where is that little stinker?" And I begin to feel like Mary and Joseph felt when they couldn't find Jesus, you know. I love her, but when I find her, I'm going to kill her. Where is she? And all of a sudden, we'd looked everywhere, and I walked in the living room, and I saw her legs sticking out from underneath the Christmas tree. And she's always been a little thing, but she was pretty tiny then. And she had burrowed underneath the Christmas tree, was laying on her back under the tree, surrounded by presents, looking up through the tree, just oblivious to the fact the entire family's running around searching for her. And I walk over, and she doesn't see me, and I stand there, and she's laying there, and she's saying this, "Only 3 more days. Only 3 more days." As she's laying amongst the presents, "3 more days till I finally get to open these presents. Only 3 more days. And so that's part of our memories and part of our story as far as our Christmas. The grandkids all came in. Boy, their eyes went to the Christmas presents. And over the next half hour, 45 minutes, we had to eat first. Isn't that torture, children? They said, "When are we going to open the gifts?" "Well, we've got to eat first." And so they eat as fast as they can. And then we're just trying, you know, they don't realize, come on, moms, that by the time the moms have fixed their plate and got them set down in one place, and then get over to get their own plate, they're done wanting to open the presents. And so they're gathered around, and they keep come over and sit beside us. And listen, over the next hour, questions kept coming up. And I've named the message this morning, "Questions Whispered Around the Christmas Tree." Questions Whispered Around the Christmas Tree. And I began to be plagued by questions about the presents, because everything else had ceased to exist. What was important was the presents, and questions about the presents. And as I meditated later on these and was reliving the memory of that night, I began to just jot down the questions that my grandchildren asked about the gifts. And I thought, those are good questions to answer concerning the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we're going to use the questions of children this morning for the outline of the message. When they saw the presents, the very first question that Julia came and sat beside me, and she snuggled up against me, and she kept looking at the presents, and then she finally looked up. By the way, Laura follows her. You know, frickin' frack, Pete, and repeat, and what we have is, basically, Laura's at that age where she follows Julia around. She doesn't know really a whole lot what to say, so whatever Julia says, she just repeats it. And so she's kind of the echo right now of what's going on. So Julia comes up and sits beside me, and Laura comes and sits beside me, and then she leans over and says, "Papa, who are those gifts for? Who are those gifts for?" The first question, who's it for? Who's it for? If somebody sees a present, I brought one. This is an extra one from my wife's Sunday school class from last week. The minute that a young person sees a present, probably the number one question that's asked is, who's it for? And in hopes that it's for them. We were out in our Christmas banquet the other night on the first Saturday night of the month. And Susan, I can't remember her last name, the older girl that is kind of a special, what's her last name? Wilson. Susan Wilson, come over to me. And she'd spotted, we had Christmas trees. We had a lot of Christmas trees. There were a lot of Christmas trees out there. And apparently the ladies had, for decoration, just wrapped up boxes to put under the tree. And so at the end of the banquet, Susan Wilson comes up and says, "Preacher." And I said, "Yes." And I see her staring at the presents. And she says, who are the presents for? And I hated to break the news to her that they were just empty boxes. Nobody wants to hear that. Those are just empty boxes used for decoration. Then she says this, oh. And I think she was disappointed one of those presents weren't for whose papa? Who are those gifts for? Now, I think they knew. But you know what they wanted to hear? They wanted to hear that gift is for you. And can I say this, folks? When it comes to the gift of God, it's for everybody. It's for you. If you wanted to find out what this whose gift this belonged to, you look at the little label that's usually put on them, and it says to and it says from. And you know what? When it comes to the gift of God, when it comes to salvation, folks, listen to me. You know what? You can put your name right there on the tag, because the gift of salvation is for everybody. And the Bible says in John chapter 3, but as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In John chapter 4, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John chapter 11, Martha said unto Jesus, I know that he shall rise again, talking about her brother. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou me? And I love Martha's answer. I've got to read it. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. In John chapter 12, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The last chapter of Revelation, the Bible closes with this invitation. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Papa, who's it for? Who's the gift for? Let me tell you this. The gift of God is for whosoever will. The gift of God, salvation, is for you. I told Brother Klein, I warned him ahead of time. I said, Brother Klein, I'm going to give the old man Klein illustration. One of my favorite illustrations, just because the man's name is Klein, spelled K-L-I-N-E, and we have a family in our church named Klein. I read this story out of one of my illustration books. It's always been dear to me, and it illustrates the whosoever factor. Watch this. A certain Mr. Klein, discouraged, defeated, and convinced that life just wasn't worth living, because no one cared for him, walked past the church one Sunday evening when the service was in progress. As the congregation sang, he caught the strains of a familiar hymn. The words sung went like this: saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. Mr. Klein's hearing was not very good, so when the congregation came to the words, Jesus died for all mankind, he thought they were singing, Jesus died for old man Klein. And he stopped in his tracks and said, well, that's me. He went into the church, entered, sat on the back row, and heard a simple gospel message. And that day, Mr. Klein received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I love that story. You know what? Guess what, Mr. Klein? You can put your name in there just fine, because Jesus died for you. I was thinking of all the times I've had the privilege and honor to open the Bible and walk down the Romans road with somebody and just show them how to be saved. And those of you that have learned how to be soul winners and are active in soul winning, you know what? There's always a blessed moment there as you're leading somebody to Christ when you get to the whosoever part, the whosoever will part. And you go to the Romans 10, chapter 13, and after thoroughly explaining the gospel and all that's involved, you're delighted to read the verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember on my 40th birthday, something happened. My 40th birthday. I have not done the decade birthday things very gracefully. People tell me it never bothered me at all. I'm not going to lie and say that because every one of them has devastated me. I didn't mind 20, but everything since then has been just terrible. When I turned 30, I became depressed. When I turned 40, I became, psychotically depressed. And 50, borderline suicidal and just crazy. I haven't handled any of them well. But I remember my 40th birthday. My 40th birthday was on a Wednesday. And I remember this specifically because of the events of what happened that day. And that morning I got up and we had a full day planned. Back when I was an assistant pastor, Wednesday, not Sunday, Wednesday was my busiest day because of the fact that we'd be in the school all day, go right from that to teen soul winning and right from that into the Wednesday night service and responsibilities there. And I mean, literally, Wednesdays went a lot of times from 6 in the morning till 10 or 11 at night, just nonstop. That was our day. That's one of the reasons we were glad that we had Thursday off and not Monday off. Wednesday was a busy day. And I got up and I looked at my schedule and I thought, Lord, it's my birthday, but it's just going to be a full day. We weren't going to celebrate it that day. We were going to do it some other time. It was just Wednesday. We got responsibilities. It's Wednesday. And so we took off into the day. But when I had my morning devotions, I knew we were having teen soul winning this afternoon. I said, Lord, there's not a thing in the world I want for my birthday. Not a thing in the world I want or need. But I guess if I was to ask you for one thing, I'd like to win somebody to Christ on my 40th birthday. I'm going to go soul winning this afternoon. Going to go with the teens. And I'd just like to win somebody to Christ. Lord, if you could let that happen, that would be like the best thing I could ask for. And so I went throughout the day and I'd think about that prayer from time to time and I'd repeat that prayer and send it up to heaven. And we went through the day and got the school day done. And I was excited, extra excited to get on the bus. And we went out and boy, I dropped the kids off. And I jumped, took a handful of tracts, my New Testament, took off down the street and knocking on doors and trying to find somebody to witness to and somebody to give the gospel to. And it seemed like nobody was at home. And the ones that were didn't have time or weren't interested. And I remember stretching it out to the very last moment I could stay out there, thinking, one more door, God's going to answer that prayer. And you know what? The end of the soul winning time, it was time to pick up the kids. And we got on the bus, took them out to eat, and then got them back here to the church. And you know what? I'll be honest with you, I was just a little disappointed. I thought for sure, I get to win somebody to Christ. That night, my dad was still pastor then, and he got up and he taught the Bible study that night. And we got done with the Bible study. It's Wednesday night church, Bible study, prayer meeting time. And my dad, after the Bible study, gave an invitation. And there was a couple of things that the message spoke to my heart about. I felt impressed the Holy Spirit would have me come to the altar and just spend a minute praying. And I also wanted to just take a few minutes and thank the Lord for 40 years of life that he'd granted me and the blessings that he saw come my way. And I'm kneeling there, right there. I'm kneeling right there. And I'm just praying, just kind of lost in communication with God, just kind of thanking the Lord and praising the Lord and thinking of all the good things he's done in the 40 years of my life. And I feel somebody kicking at my feet, at my feet. You know, when you're praying, your heels are up. And somebody's kicking at the sole of my shoe, kind of just tapping it. And I turn around and look, and there was a teenage boy that had come to church that night. And he came forward and wanted to be saved. And I'd met him and befriended him. And so instead of coming up here and talking to the pastor, he came over and stood beside me and kicked my feet. And I looked up and I said, I don't even remember the boy's name. I called him by name. And I said, well, hey, can I help you with something? And he looked at me and he said, preacher, I want to be saved. Could I be saved tonight? And I got to kneel right there on my 40th birthday. And I was thinking about this morning. And I began to go down the Romans road. And I got to Romans 10, 13, and I don't remember exactly, but I'll bet you that when I got to Romans 10, 13 and read to him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I almost always say it. It would be unusual for me not to. But I look over to the person that I'm leading to Christ and I say, see with that word whosoever, what does that mean? And he says, that means anybody. Does that mean you? Yes. Well, let's reread the verse and let's put your name in it. And let's say that the boy's name was Carl. And I would have read it like this, for if Carl shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. And folks, let me tell you this. There's a gift that you don't have to wonder whether or not it's for you. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, preacher, I don't think it's for me. Yes, it is. It's for whosoever will, whosoever will. God didn't leave anybody out when it comes to the invitation to be saved. So questions whispered around the Christmas tree. Papa, who are those gifts for? Now, the second question I got asked, and I got asked it several times by one of our grandchildren. And we talked about this later, how unusual it was. But Shaylee, most of you know who Shaylee is. Shaylee ended up with a pile of gifts around her. And, you know, we're passing them out. And she's beginning to open up her gifts. And all of the kids are kind of opening them up. And you know, the chaos and the mess and the screaming and the whoops. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. But Shaylee's doing something that none of the other kids are doing. She looks at the gift. And she's started kindergarten, but she can't read yet. And so she would come to me with every single gift. She'd start to open and she'd walk over and hand it to me. And I'm busy handing out gifts, but she'd pop up. I said, what? She'd hold it up. She'd say, watch this. Who's it from? Who's it from? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Come on, parents. That's not usually of a big concern to a child. All they know is gift. Who cares? Let's see what's in it. I'll try to figure out later who gave me what, all right? But every single gift, she did this. I mean, I'd get busy again, and she'd come with her second gift. Who's this from? And she'd unwrap it. And then I got to noticing something. When she'd unwrap it, she'd take the gift and go find the person and give them a hug. And I thought to myself, I looked her out, man, this girl's a better Christian than I am. I don't do that. And she'd come back and she'd show me another gift and she'd say, who's it from? And then she'd open it and she'd get over and show it to him and give him a hug. And I thought about when it comes to the gift that God has given it, we would say, preacher, who's it for? It's for everybody. Well, who's it from? Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. And let me just tell you who this is from. This is from this matter of salvation, this matter of eternal life, this matter of forgiveness. This is from the creator of the universe. And by the way, he got a gift for you. And he got a gift for me. This is from Jehovah God, the Almighty. This is from, as we heard this morning, the Holy One. And yet he loved us whom were unholy. And loved us so much that he was willing to purchase for us a gift. Preacher, who's it to? It's for everybody. Who is it from? It's from God. You're going to get a lot of gifts this Christmas season. Most of us will get, honestly, more than we need. And it'll come from a lot of different people. But let me just say this. The best gift that's ever been given to mankind came from the God of the universe. When he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Here's another question. Now, once they know who, if it's for them, yes, whose it's from, the next question is, what is it? I mean, that's the next question. What is it? And so there's different ways people go about trying to figure out what it is. Some people want to guess what it is before they open it. How many of you are like that? Do you squeeze it a little bit? Do you shake it a little bit? You kind of mess around with it because you really like to look at the person and just ruin it for them and tell them it's this, you know, and decide what it is before it is. Now, that's one way people guess about what it is, and other people just rip into it and find out what it is. Say, preacher, are you telling me that there's a gift? Yes, and it's for me. Yes, and it's from God. Yes, well, here's the question. What is it? Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, what's in the gift that God has gotten for me? It's salvation, the Bible says. It's redemption through his blood. It's forgiveness of sin. It's eternal life. All that is wrapped up in what Jesus Christ has provided for me and provided for you. Brother Bud Bovenshin came in and he stuck his head in here just as we were getting ready to start the cantata. And Brother Reiser had taught the Sunday school lesson. I'm not sure what Brother Reiser said that triggered this, but Brother Bovenshin came in and he said, 58 years ago tomorrow, he said, I gave Jesus a gift. And he said, I gave him my heart. And 58 years ago tomorrow, he received the gift of eternal life. And in return, he gave Jesus Christ the gift of his heart. 58 years ago tomorrow. Listen, can you find that day in your memory banks? I say this a lot. I'm going to keep saying it. But if you were to go back in your memory banks from where you are right now and go down the timeline of your life, can you find that place, that time, where you know that you came under Holy Spirit conviction of sin? Where you know that you understood the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where you called upon the name of the Lord and believed with all your heart that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world and called upon him and asked him to save you? As you review your life, can you go back and find that? Please, preacher, I don't know the exact date. That's fine. But can you remember that there was a day? Preacher, I remember a time. I remember a place. I know when I was saved. Do you have that? If not, can I say this? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And we would certainly urge and encourage each and every one of you to be saved. Now, here's another question that I heard whispered. But this wasn't whispered by a child. I'm not going to embarrass the adult. But it was whispered by one of the adults. And I think it's a question that adults think of more than children think of. The first question, Papa, who's those gifts for? Who's it for? The second, who's it from? The third, what's in it? The fourth, here it is. Wonder what that cost. Wonder what that cost. I went and bought the kids gifts this morning. And I need to stop. But I bought my Sunday school class gifts this morning. And I went to the dollar store. And I said, I'm going to buy them all something to send home with them. And I wanted to give them a gift that they could also give away. And isn't that good, by the way? You know, salvation is a gift that you get and you can give away and never lose it. And so I gave them a little box of candy canes. And I ended up buying almost 30 of them because I didn't know how many kids would come. And so I used the box that they were in, the big box, the display box, because I didn't want to carry 30 of them. On the outside of the display box, it said the price of what they were, and it said $1 because I went to the dollar store. There you go. But then I thought, they're going to think I'm cheap. And so I went to my office, and I took a black marker, and I added 2 zeros after the 1 and 2 little zeros with a line under it, very professionally done. I mean, I think I fooled them. I really do. And we won't even talk about the disturbing picture that's down on my board. There, I walked into this classroom, and they drew this thing on the dry. Anyway, that's another story. There's something down there that I'm not even sure what it is. But and I showed them the box, and I said, I want you to know how much I care for you kids. This is what this cost me. And not a one of them fell for it. Not a one of them believed it. They didn't believe this cost $100. Maybe because I forgot to notice that it also said $1 on each of the... I kind of got busted on that one, you know. But you know what? There is a certain amount of, okay, watch this. Let me just say it. There's a certain, I think especially wives to their husbands, come on now, where, okay, you know, how much did he sacrifice? How much did he spend? And can I use that as some level of measure to the love that I have or he has for me? You know, guys, don't go to the dollar store on Christmas Eve and get your wife's presents. Don't do that. It's not going to go over well. Well, let me tell you how much God loved us. Say, preacher, what did it cost God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5, 6 through 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, here's what he paid, Christ died for us. You know what eternal life, you know what forgiveness, you know what redemption, you know what salvation costs God? It cost him his Son. You know what it cost Jesus? It cost him his life. Boy, I don't know what you measure that against, but when we stand in the pulpit and we say the greatest gift that was ever offered, the greatest gift that was given by God, I think we've got pretty good proof here if we're going to go by what it costs. I heard a preacher say the other day, I think the brother that preached our Christmas banquet, and he's got a little boy, precious little boy. He's got several children, but a brand new little boy. And he said, you know what? Do I love anybody in this room enough to sacrifice my son for you? And he was honest. He said, no, I don't. And the honest truth is, I think that that would be the honest answer of most parents' hearts in this room. I'm sorry, but no, I don't. But you know what? God had a perfect son. And he was willing to send him to buy for us eternal life. What did it cost? It cost God his son. What did it cost Jesus? It cost Jesus his life. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Think about this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life became death. That's what it cost. Holiness was willing to become sin. Perfect fellowship was broken between God the Father and God the Son. Can I read you? And I think it's fitting that we do, because I don't want to leave Jesus in a manger this Christmas. I want to take you to the cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and setting up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross. We will believe him. He trusteth in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I'm the Son of God. Thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. From the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Please listen, folks. For about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What happened, preacher? Watch this. Life became death. Holiness became sin. Perfect fellowship that had been enjoyed between God the Father and God the Son for all eternity past was broken. What did it cost? Isaiah put it this way. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. What is that all talking about? It's talking about what happened on Calvary's cross. Because see, here was the perfect Son of God that never done anything wrong. And all of the sins of all mankind. Come on, all mankind means you, means you, means you. Hey, it means you, means you young people, means Jerry Ross. Everything that I ever have done, in God's foresight, he saw and laid him upon Jesus. Every evil thought, every evil word, every evil action, every failure, moral failure, he lays it upon Jesus Christ, his Son. And you know what he does? The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And that's why Jesus cried out of the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had never forsaken his Son. They'd always, he said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm trying to get you to understand this gift costs something. It costs something. And you know what? Here's the good news. Last question. Preacher, can I have it? Can I have it? Little Laura, the echo. She parked herself right here close to me when I was parked passing out the gifts. And I would stick the gifts around her. And every single gift she'd pick up, she'd always look at me and she'd say, and if I was busy, she'd say, Papa, Papa, Papa. You know, you understand this, folks? Come on, Papa, 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 Papa. Until finally, yes, Papa. And she'd hold up everyone and say, she'd say this, can I open it? Everyone, she asked me, can I open it? Finally, I said, you can open all of them. And can I open it? Hey, preacher, can I open this? Preacher, is this gift for me? Eternal life, salvation, is it for me? Oh, yes, it is. You can have it today. But you know what, folks, watch this. As much as this cost, and all that God sacrificed, and all that he paid, and the fact that it's free, free for the taking, it does not become yours until you choose to receive it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine parents going out and at great sacrifice, great cost, buying presents, wrapping them and presenting them to your children and have them turn around and walk away and say, I don't want them. That's how God feels when mankind learns about salvation and the price that Jesus paid for to save them, and then turns around and walks away and says, no, thank you. No, thank you, Lord. I don't really think I want that. I really don't think I need that. Can I open it, Papa? Can I open it? Preacher, can I have the gift of eternal life? Is it for me? Yes. Who's it from? It's from God. Well, preacher, what's it cost? It cost him his Son. It cost Jesus his life. Can you have it? Yes, you can have it today. All you got to do is watch this. Just come get it. Just come get it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to talk about the gift of God, which is eternal life, salvation, forgiveness, redemption, eternal life, all wrapped together, purchased for us by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of your dear Son. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for us. We celebrate you being born in a manger. But Lord, we certainly also understand you came for a reason. You came to pay a price, to purchase a gift. And Lord, I pray, dear God, if there's anyone here this morning that's never received you as personal Savior, that they'd be saved today. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. I'd like to just quickly ask you a question. If you were to die right now, do you know 100% sure that you go to heaven? Now think about that. Let it sink in. If you died right now, do you know 100% sure that you go to heaven? As you go back and review the life that you've lived and look back at the timeline of your life, has there ever been a time, a place where you're willing to humble yourself? Admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. understanding that Jesus loves you enough to die on the cross for your sins. Your sins have been paid for. Eternal life has been purchased. The gift is free for the taking. But you have to be willing to accept it. You have to be willing to reach out and make it your own. Have you ever been saved? If you died right now, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? The preacher, I can't say that I know that for sure, but God is speaking to my heart. God's working on my heart. Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen, but I know this. God's doing something in my heart, and I know I need to be saved. Can I pray for you? And I will. I will pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you by name, but I'll pray for you. Preacher, I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? I've never been saved. I need to be saved. I see that hand back there. I've never been saved. I need to be saved. Somebody else, would you raise your hand? I see your hand right there. God bless you. Anybody else? Preacher, I've never been saved. I need to be saved. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these that have raised their hands, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that during the invitation that they'll come forward, dear Lord, and allow us to take the Bible. The gift is here. The gift of God, eternal life, salvation, redemption, forgiveness of sin, it's here. You've made it free. I pray, Lord, that those that have raised their hand, maybe someone who's not saved, they didn't raise their hand, Lord, you're dealing with their heart. I pray, dear God, that you'd bring them forward, Lord, so that today could be the day of their salvation.